Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team assist!
With Nate Jackson now sitting in for Stink, who's getting ready to travel. Here we go, Nate. At DenverFan.com, we've got James Merrillat writing that George Payton might go down as the biggest villain in Broncos history. Well, as a general manager, you have two main tasks. One, find your quarterback. And two, find the right coach for that quarterback. Right now, you're looking at an unmitigated disaster with Nathaniel Hackett. Nobody believes he'll survive and be back for year two. And what is now being talked about nationally as maybe the worst trade in the history of the NFL in the Russell Wilson deal. As a general manager, you can't survive that. You shouldn't survive that, should you?
No, not if it bears that type of fruit that you're describing. But how can you be a villain when you're such a nice guy? Because George Payton's a nice guy. Everyone loves him. Very diligent, hardworking. He has his plan. And sold everyone on that plan early when he came in, right? And so things clearly have not worked out. Looks like a big swing and a miss with Nathaniel Hackett. But Russell Wilson, I feel like it's not all his bad there. I feel like there was a drumbeat coming from everywhere to get some unicorn guy. Because we can't win with Drew Lock. We can't win with Teddy Bridgewater. We don't want to draft a young guy. We want either Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. And that's it. And I feel like he was exacting the wishes of a lot of people making that move. But Nathaniel Hackett, that's a swing and a miss.
Are you surprised he's still the coach?
No.
As of right now. No. And will probably be the coach at the end of today. And it's looking more and more. If yesterday wasn't enough to get him fired, then I got to believe he's going to be here for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a precedent for coaches taking over for a bad football team and losing for a couple years before turning the ship around, changing the culture. We talk about a culture change. It takes a while to do that, right? So I'm not surprised that he still has his job, and I think they actually are going to think about whether to bring him back for a second year.
No, they can't.
Well, look.
They can't.
This is a very convoluted and complex issue the Broncos are going through with this quarterback. This quarterback is a megalomaniac. He came in, they rolled out the red carpet for him, they traded a lot of stuff for him. And Nathaniel Hackett, when he first introduced him, it wasn't like a football coach introducing his quarterback. It was like a 12-year-old meeting Taylor Swift for the first time, Mike. Oh my God, you guys, Russell Wilson, y'all. Welcome, Russell. And Sierra's here too. Oh my God, guys, this is going to be so fun. In hindsight, he's going to go back and think, "Oh, why did I play it like that?" If he gets a second year, he'll get to adjust some of this.
Can you change? You can't. All of a sudden.
You never get a second
because you can't
chance.
Go from being Coach Clapp to Coach Hardass.
Can you not?
I don't think so.
Maybe take the team to Peru with Aaron
Rodgers. Still
Aaron
come
Rogers
across
and,
as being real? I don't think so.
Well, look, he was excited when he got here. Very anxious. And he was told, be yourself, man. Be yourself. Be the relentless, positive energy guy. And to a man, every single Broncos player who was asked about what the difference is between Nathaniel Hackett and Vic, the energy is different. Well, maybe that energy was a problem, Nathaniel, and you got to dial that back and just tell people how it is. I think that he lets people in his kitchen a little bit too much and describes his process too much. He gives us too much.
Yes.
When he's up there.
Yeah.
Don't tell me
you're
about the chain
right.
of command. Just
you're
tell
right.
me we're going to figure it out.
Yeah, yes, we love honesty. We love transparency, but there have been many times this season where I'm like, yo, coach.
Why are you telling me that?
Why are you telling
don't
me that?
Don't tell me
this
about Jerry Rossberg.
This is
don't
not
tell
helping
me about,
you. No.
Yeah, don't tell me about the problems you're having. Don't tell me about the fact that you don't know what to do. Don't tell me about that stuff. You know, talk to your confidants about it, but tell us very, very little keep it in-house and work through it. I think if you're just looking at the record, you know, 3-8, that's bad, but there's a stat going around. The previous two coaches here had 3-8 records, too. So, Bill Walsh was 2-14 his first year. Okay? He turned that thing around and created a dynasty. I'm not saying that Daniel Hackett could do that, but you'll never know if you fire him.
Well, after having lived through Vance and Vic, I see more of the same signs here with this guy than I do believing that we're sitting on the next Bill Walsh.
We're back.
At DenverFan.com, Andrew Mason writes about how the Broncos just flat-out whipped by the Panthers. Flogged was the word that Mace used. And he also wrote about the frustration boiling over with Mike Purcell going after Russ, yelling at Russ. What did you make of that whole exchange?
I take it at face value, both of what those guys explained is frustration. And I don't think Mike Purcell was necessarily yelling at Russell Wilson. I do think he was yelling to his quarterback, make a play for us. Do something, because we need you. Because obviously the defense was getting gashed, and he had just had a bonehead penalty, right? His frustration was boiling over, and he's looking at his quarterback, who probably, you know, as Mike Purcell's walking by, was like, that's right. And Mike's like, what?
Well, his head... I love how we, like, now break down the Zapruder, how do you call it, the Zapruder film or whatever? But his head snapped to the right in a way that at first I thought Russ might have said, hey, man, you can't be taking a penalty like that.
Yeah?
At which point I'd be like, ooh, bad move.
And yeah.
But the way his head kind of snapped over, well, the amateur investigator in me thinks that Russ said something rather than Purcell looking for Russ
right
to tell Russ, let's bleeping go.
Russ might have said something, but it might just not have landed. Like, one of Russ's cliches, you know, and Mike was understandably frustrated and was like, no, I don't have time for that.
Right.
Go make a play for us. Score a touchdown for us. The Broncos don't score touchdowns, and that has to be incredibly deflating for a defense that's playing as hard as they can. They can't hold up forever, and we're seeing the cracks form. And, you know, on the defense that started out so good, they're not making the plays that they were making early in the season. And it's, to me, it's because the offense is not making plays either, and so they're just losing steam.
We knew this was coming, though. That you can't have, as bad as this offense has been, and the discrepancy and the burden carried by this defense. You know that the finger pointing and the whispering and the talk has been going on behind the scenes in that locker room. So the fact that it finally boiled over for the whole country to see, this has been weeks in the building.
Yeah, and I think it takes a little bit of the shine off of the Russell Wilson mystique. I mean, there is a frustration with him and the offense in general, probably Nathaniel Hackett as well. Just, you know, practicing against these guys every day, trying to prepare them. You know, the defense faces the offense every day. These guys are familiar with each other. They go to battle every day, and they're supposed to be competing with one another. And so when they prepare each other to work, to go play on Sunday, and they work hard all week, and for one side to show up and the other not to, especially when you got this guy who brought so much hope and expectation with him, and he didn't do anything to tamp that down. He built it up, and so the explosion is coming. Get ready. Are you ready for Lombardi Trophy number 4? Like, all right, man. So where is it? And I think that everybody on this team doesn't have an answer for it, and I think they don't know what to do.
And for everything that's gone wrong this year, I think yesterday was the worst part of it for the whole Russell Wilson experience this year, because you had a defensive player show no respect, no reverence, no sense of fear, no nothing towards the guy that is supposed to be the $250 million savior. Instead, he was dog cussing him like he was some rookie.
Or he just is a guy on the team, which is good. You talk about reverence and fear. That's not a healthy system there. And everyone,
can you imagine a defensive player coming off the field, and maybe you did see it, a defensive player coming off the field and just going after Peyton Manning like that?
If Peyton Manning had only managed to score 14 points a game, okay,
Yeah, absolutely. We saw. Okay, there's
well, during
that,
the Super
there's
Bowl that, year, he was playing at that kind of level.
I get it. I get it. I saw that thing going around social media. Like, no one would ever treat Peyton Manning that way.
Would they?
You're not supposed to have reverence for your quarterback and be afraid of him and think that he's on a pedestal and I'm just this peon down here and I better not talk to him in an angry way. We all have to be the same. If you're not holding up your end of the bargain, you better get your butt chewed out by someone who's holding that standard. Russell Wilson is not playing up to the standard. I'd be hard-pressed for you to find an NFL quarterback playing worse than Russell Wilson right now. And sure, the money you're giving him makes it crazy to consider that juxtaposition. But on the team, in that locker room, everybody better be fair game to get yelled at if they're not doing their jobs.
I got a Russell Wilson question I want to circle back to, but first... Nathaniel Hackett, as Will Peterson writes about at DenverFan.com, speaking briefly about his job security, the same old empty cliches that we've heard week after week. We got to be better. It starts with me. Blah, 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 blah. I knew they were in trouble when they took Thanksgiving off.
Yeah, that was...
Because it's yet another example of a coach... who treats this team like they had already arrived, like they were a team that he had inherited that was a winning program, that had had a lot of success, that had a lot of built-in leadership, that had a winning culture, and from day one, he has treated them like a team that has already arrived, whether it be the way that they conducted training camp, whether it be during their bye week, where instead of actually, you know, practicing for 3 or 4 days before you go off and you're bye, he gave him the full week off. And then last Thursday, in the interest of family time, he takes what all you NFL guys tell me that when you're playing and preparing for a Sunday game, Thursday's your hardest day.
That's your big day.
That's your big day.
Yeah, it is.
And instead you blew it off.
You blew it off, and it was. You're right. That was indicative of kind of, to me, And to a lot of people, where this program and where this coach is off in the way he's running his team. Not only the guys on this station who played, but all my other friends who I talked to were just like, can you believe this? He's giving them Thursday off. No one has a problem with going in on Thursday. In fact, it's a cool day of practice because he lets you out early. Because it is Thanksgiving. You go in there, it is kind of a lighter day. You have a practice a little earlier. You move it up, and then you go home and you're with your family. But you know what happens when you give them the whole day off? Exactly what happened. The entire defense goes out and parties on Wednesday night, and they don't have a curfew the next morning. And yeah, it's a crappy season. Why not go out and have a good time? The only thing that keeps you under wraps is that wake-up call the next day. You know, I'm not going to have that next drink or nine or whatever. These guys didn't have that. They all went out. I got birdies in town. Those guys were out having a good time. I don't blame them. But when they can just sleep it off and not even practice the next day, you mentioned it. Thursday is the hardest day. That's the day when you're supposed to put on your pads and go for it. These guys didn't do that at all. They didn't even show up at the facility. It showed on Sunday. It's like Nathaniel Hackett was like, when he was thinking about being a head coach someday, he's like, there's things I want to do because I don't like going in on Thursday, you know, when it's Thanksgiving. So when I run it, I'm going to give the guys the day off. You think of those ideas in a vacuum, but when you actually get there and you realize what your team needs, you have to be able to adjust that plan. This team did not need that day off, and it showed on Sunday.
Yeah, Mark was telling me he just did the Washington game this week, and he said Ron Rivera gave his team Thursday off, but they've been playing well.
Mm.
And this is his third year with that team, so he feels like he knows his team.
Yeah.
And his team has played well of late, so he used it as a reward. But with an understanding, these are the kind of things that you get when you play well and you handle your business. And yeah, maybe you guys will go out Wednesday night. I'm sure Ron Rivera expected his guys to go out Wednesday night and have a good time. But he also expected them to be able to handle up on their business when they got back to work. And they did. They won again. So the problem, and I know that Hackett comes from Green Bay and LaFleur has done this in Green Bay. But again, Green Bay's got a proven culture. They've got a tradition. They've got an understanding. They have team leaders. None of that exists here. And yet he acts like it does. And nobody in that building has earned the right to be given that kind of freedom, that kind of reward. They haven't earned it.
And he doesn't have anybody to tell him that, you know, to be like, hey, man, maybe we shouldn't do that. But this is who Nathaniel Hackett is. And a lot of it is about off the field with him. It's about the family environment you create, the support system, you know, the communication. He wants to communicate everything. We talked about that earlier. Keep some of it to yourself. Make the decision and go with it. And you need a confidant who can tell you maybe now's not the time to give these guys a day off.
One more from Will Peterson at DenverFan.com as he writes, now is the decision time for the Penner Group. And you know the old saying, you only have one chance to make a good first impression. Mm. And to me, Broncos country's watching this new ownership group. How do you respond to this? Because Broncos country is not dumb. Broncos country saw this happening way back when, in the first quarter of the first home game, they were booing this offense. Give credit to the fans. They know what bad football is like. They know the symptoms of something that doesn't look good and probably isn't going to get better. So they're watching to see what this ownership group does. I'm watching to see what this ownership group does. And if they sit on their hands and don't do anything and run this back status quo for year two, all the optimism that we had about this new ownership group will be lost. They got one shot to make a good first impression. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah, and what makes you think they know what they're looking for? You know, what makes you think that they understand the standard? They just took it over, and they said that they do. They said that they want to be the steward of Pat Bowlen's legacy, but do they understand it? A lot of the reason why Broncos country is so upset is because the standard's through the roof, because we've seen excellent football around here for decades. Right? The expectation was always, okay, maybe we don't win the Super Bowl, but we're in the hunt. We expect to win every game. And so the embarrassment of this year and the last 6 years has not been Broncos football. But does the Walton Petter group understand what Broncos football is and who is guiding them through that process? Damani Leach? George Payton? He doesn't even understand Broncos football because he's the new guy here and he was in Minnesota for 20 years. I just don't know. If that, they had the right advisors.
That's the key. Who are they talking to?
Right.
Who are they talking to?
Is John Elway in there, in the Rolodex?
Because if all they're doing is talking to George Payton, well, then, yeah, what's George Payton going to be saying? He's going to say, hey, look.
He's got reasons why it all.
He's going to be, look, I mean, look at the injuries.
Right.
Look at the injuries. And, I mean, the injuries are an excuse, but they're not the reason why they are where they're at right now. So, who are they talking to? And are they reaching out? And are they talking? I would hope that when they took over and they got a seat at the big table, yeah, that there were people around, other owners around that table that said, hey, if you ever want to, you know, talk as you learn about all this and you want some advice or you just want somebody to bounce some ideas off of, here's my number. Give me a call.
Talk about the other owners. You think they want the Broncos to be back? I guess that's a good question.
I would think so.
You want them to be good?
I would think so. I would think that in that fraternity there, there's a sense of, yeah, I want you guys to succeed, and we want you to succeed. And that's one of the biggest arguments I've had. One of the things that have frustrated with me, I don't want to talk much about the Rockies, but one thing that's always frustrated me about Dick Montfort is that he's been so paralyzed when it comes to making significant change. I think he's either loyal to a fault, or what I suspect is he fears change so much and he's so unsure about who to go out and hire or who to talk to. And I've always felt that if he just reached out to a couple of respected general managers around baseball, that they would easily give him some advice. And, hey, maybe here's a person you want to talk to, or here's somebody who's an up-and-comer in this organization. But he's never done that, and he's maintained the status quo. I'm curious to see what this ownership group does. Are they going to be out there? Are they going to be bold? Are they going to be talking to people? Are they going to be getting advice, feedback? Or are they just going to sit back on their hands and say, hey, we're new to this. We're still learning, and we haven't been on the job long enough to be able to make sweeping changes like blowing out an entire front office from the general manager on down.
It is a sad state that these guys may not know what they're doing.
If the rest of this season goes the way we think it will, and they run it back,
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that all of a sudden there's going to be 20,000 people at every game, because Broncos season tickets, you know, people are on the waiting list for years and years and years. And trust me, if in a fit of frustration and take that, you give up your season tickets, trust me, there are 30, 40,000 people eagerly waiting to take your place. So that will not be an issue. But just the overall vibe around this team will be toxic. Toxic if they don't do anything.
Yeah, and
and by the way, you still got three more home games for that message to be delivered.
They're 3-8. I got a way that Hackett can keep his job and they only win 5 games.
Let's go. We got time.
Beat the Chiefs twice.
Whoa.
I'm here.
Wow.
You beat the Chiefs twice, Hackett. You might keep it. I mean,
I'm here.
That's the boogeyman, right? That's why we got Russell Wilson. That's why we got Nathaniel Hackett to beat those guys.
So, first of all, there's no way this team that we just watched yesterday is going to beat the Chiefs once. Never mind twice. But I see where you're going. If you beat the Chiefs twice and still go 5-12.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Okay, Nate Jackson, I'll play along. You could lose every other game this year, but if you beat the Chiefs twice and go 5-12, Nathaniel Hackett keeps his job. Fine.
A case could be made.
A case could be made. There is no way that's going to happen. No way.
You never know, man. Never know.
No, I do know. Russell Wilson, should he be benched?
I think
we are living in the world of accountability. If we're living in a world where, hey, look, I don't care where you were drafted. I don't care how long you've been in the league. I don't care what your status is. I don't care what your contract says, what your paycheck is. You aren't playing.
If you're going to fire Nathaniel Hackett, no. If you want to give Nathaniel Hackett a shot, yeah, bench him and see what Hackett can do without that dude on the field. Is it a Russell Wilson problem right now? Or is it a Nathaniel Hackett problem? I think if you bench Russell Wilson, try to work with some other players, then sure. Yeah, but if you already have your mind made up that Nathaniel Hackett's not the guy, I don't see what it's going to do benching Russell Wilson.
I got a different take on why you bench Russell Wilson. I'll share that with you coming up next.
You're going to need a bigger push. It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
Why is this that you're so big?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
Nate Jackson sitting in for Stink. Stink had a wild Planes, Trains, and Automobiles Day yesterday. He spent the weekend in our nation's capital. He actually called Washington and Atlanta yesterday, but because of all kinds of travel issues getting out of D.C., he spent last night and broadcast the first 2 hours of this morning's show from Minnesota, of all places. So now he's finally able to travel back, so he's airport bound, and Nate's sitting in, and of course Nate will be on with the Players Club coming up here in half an hour, debating whether or not it's time to sit down Russell Wilson. And you can look at it from the standpoint that if you have any shred of demanding accountability, if you're Nathaniel Hackett and George Payton, that you got to sit this guy down. Because if he was anybody else, whether it be a young quarterback or a veteran quarterback, if it was anybody else, they'd be sitting. Because the play has been this bad. So not only from an accountability standpoint, if you want to be able to maintain some dignity in that room, you got to sit Russ. I think it'd be good for Russ. I really do. Because I see a guy who has zero confidence right now. I see a guy who has no faith in what he's seen, no faith in the throws that he's making, no faith in the people that are playing around him. And the idea that if you just keep sending him out there, it's just going to get better. And for a time, I thought that was the case because they were so limited in the reps that they got early on in the season. And in the offseason, I felt like, hey, you got to keep sending him out there. He's got to keep working at this. Nate, we're at a point now where you send him out, all you're going to get is diminishing returns. And you're going to put this guy deeper into a funk. deeper into a crisis of confidence. And being able to try to rescue him after this season is going to be made that much harder. This guy needs to be sat down for his own mental protection.
Mm. So we got to coddle the $250 million guy's ego.
Not coddled, but understand this guy is an investment they can't get out of. They have to try to find a way to make this work beyond this year. And keep sending him out there right now with the understanding, the belief that it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse, and it's only going to make trying to salvage the next couple of years that much more difficult.
It's quite a predicament.
That's not coddling. I think that's just good business.
Well, no, look, I want to see him work through it. I want to see what this guy is made of. This is really the first sort of, I don't know, maybe not the first, because everyone goes through adversity. You don't play 10 years in the NFL without dealing with adversity, but this is a unique situation for this guy, and I want to see him work through it. I would prefer if what Nathaniel Hackett and the play callers or the offensive designers did was just get back to basic. Let's simplify this thing and do things we know that we can complete, that we know you can do, that we know you understand what's being asked of you, and we'll try that. If that doesn't work, it can't get any worse. But we're not going to try to scheme up things, because scheming it up isn't working, right? It's confusing everyone out there. Obviously, there are injuries with the wide receivers. And when you got wide receivers, you're bringing off the practice squad. The last thing you want to do is tell them to learn every position. And, oh, by the way, we're putting in all these new wrinkles this week. And so get ready for this check and this and this and that. And I think Russell Wilson is checking out of a lot of stuff and is putting his teammates in a difficult position. Run the plays that are called and make sure those plays that are called are very simple. You got Brandon Johnson out there. You got Kendall Hinton out there. You know, who else? You know, Jalen Virgil's getting run out there. Corlin Sutton is your number one guy, and he's not really performing at a high level. Greg Dulcich is a rookie out there. You got running backs who didn't even start the season on this roster and in a patchwork offensive line. Now, you can blame injuries. Every team is dealing with them. And George Payton can blame injuries. But the depth of the team is assembled by George Payton. And so if you don't have guys who come in and play at a high level, you can't blame injuries. That's your fault for not putting the back end of this roster in a position to compete, right? So I'm not in favor of benching Russell Wilson. I think he's got to work through this.
But how's he going to work through it? You just laid out all the reasons he's not going to be able to work through it. Because next
year, you know what's going to happen, Mike? Your receivers are going to get hurt. Your running backs are going to get hurt. Your offensive line's going to... It's going to happen every year. This is not going to stop. You have to find a way to work through it, Russell. And you have to be better. Holding him to account, great. What Mike Purcell did, awesome. What Nathaniel Hackett should be, calling him out in meetings and treating him like every other player. But sitting him down, I don't know if that's... You're talking about his confidence level.
I think he needs a couple of mental health weeks. I think you need to create some injury. You got to say, hey, Russ, look, the hamstring is really barking, or your shoulder's really... whatever. We're shutting you down for a couple weeks just to give you a chance to clear your head. It's not the way I would like to do it. It's not how I believe that pro athletes should be coddled, your word. I'm not going to argue with the word, but you are looking at a contract and you know, the idea that, hey, let's just move on from Russ. The cap numbers for the next couple of years are so prohibitive. There's no way you can do that.
What do you mean by that?
All right. So you're looking at, let me see if I can bring it up, because James Merrill, I put these cap numbers out. So here's what you're looking at. If you wanted to walk away from him after this year, for example, okay, this year, you'd be looking at a cap number hit of $107 million.
Huge.
Can't do it. You can't do it and still field a football team.
Cap hit for next season, you
yeah.
mean? Why is it so much? I don't understand why it's a cap hit of $107
million. Everything's accelerated because of guaranteed money and everything like that.
So talk to me like I'm a second grader. So that would remove $107 million from your salary cap.
Yes.
Because of this one guy.
One guy.
And that's our problem, dude. That's how we miscalculated this whole thing from the start, is we put so much into this one guy.
Well, every team does that, though. Every team that signs a quarterback to one of these contracts that have about $145 million of guaranteed money, you have this kind of a dead cap that gets... It's not that everything gets... I'm not going to get caught up in the weeds of trying to explain capology here, but basically, when you're looking at a $107 million cap hit for 2023, $85 million for 2024, even in 2025, it goes down, but it's still $50 million, okay?
Insane.
So what I'm saying is that after this year, you still really are tied to this guy for two more years. So it's taking the here and now versus the big picture. And would doing a little bit of coddling right now and shutting him down for mental health reasons, because he's clearly in a crisis of confidence, do you do that with the understanding that I'm thinking about trying somehow to salvage the big picture, which is these next couple of years, that I'm really stuck with this guy? That's my argument.
Okay, so if that's the case, which sounds pretty accurate, then you got to have him work through it. You got to have him become a leader. You got to have him weave his way through this troubled spot and play better football.
But you're asking him to work through a situation where we all agree is a coach, a head coach who's in over his head, awful offensive system, ton of injuries, and players that you are sending out there that he clearly has very little trust or belief in, and you're going to ask him to work through it?
These are your teammates, man.
Then that just becomes the definition of insanity. Now you're just asking him to go out and do the same thing and work with the same situation week after week after week, expecting different results. Dude, we've been watching this thing for 11 weeks.
Football.
It's been 11 weeks of garbage, and you somehow expect it to get better if he just works through it?
Football is the definition of insanity. You're banging yourself into another guy over and over and over again. It hurts. It always hurts. You expect a different result. It's always going to be hard. It's always going to be brutal. You have to work. These are his teammates. 70% of the guys on this team will be back next year. There's about a 30% turnover every year. These are his teammates for the Denver Broncos. He has to find a way to connect with them. If it's what you say, that it's Russell Wilson's going to be here, Nathaniel Hackett's gone, then Russell Wilson better establish his leadership. Russell Wilson better find a way to connect with his teammates, this city, this organization. You let him work through this, and you tell him that he better get it right.
So you think the Jets are making a mistake in benching Zach Wilson and turning to Mike White? Shouldn't they have looked at Zach Wilson as the same exact thing? Hey, this is a guy we invested a ton in. We invested the number two overall pick in this guy. We got to let him work through it. He's dealing with adversity. He's being a knucklehead. He's getting up and saying, hey, do you feel like you let the defense down? No, and walks off. Why aren't the Jets saying work through it? They made a change.
He's on a rookie deal. He's on a rookie deal. They didn't trade two first-round picks, two second-round picks, a fifth-round pick, and three players for Zach Wilson. They didn't sign him up to a $245 million contract. I think they're in different situations, but you make a good point. You make a good point. But the Jets are still trying to salvage their season.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make the playoffs. They believe they have a team that's worthy of that. And I don't know if the Broncos can make that same case.
But the Jets ultimately, Robert Saleh ultimately said, you know what, I cannot go up in front of that team with a straight face and tell them that, you know, these are the things that they need to buy into and work for if I'm sending this knucklehead out to play on Sunday. He would have lost all respect and accountability. This is an accountability issue as much as anything. Russell Wilson does not deserve to be on the field right now. Nothing about his performance would indicate that he deserves. They are scoring 14 points per game.
Right.
The last time a team this deep in the season was averaging this few points in a game were the 2000 Cleveland Browns. And that was in the midst of a 3-13 season. And that was in the midst of the Browns in the ultimate, you know, Browns pit of misery. And that's where the Broncos are residing right now.
In the pit of misery?
Dilly dilly.
So, I believe that you need to let Russell Wilson show you who he is. And this is a moment where he's going to have to do that. This is a tough time for those guys in that locker room. We talk about how upset we are that they're not winning. Imagine being in that locker room. That is like a funeral every single day. These guys are miserable there.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are you going to do about it, Russell? What kind of leader are you? What are you made of? These last seven games are going to show you exactly what six games are going to show you exactly what Russell's made of. And I think that if you don't think, close your eyes and do you think Russell Wilson can deliver a Super Bowl championship to this city?
As we sit here right now, no way in the
All heck. Right, well, let him play six more games, and if that becomes even more true, then you start figuring out how to get rid of the guy.
But you can't.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
You can always do it.
No, you can't. No, you can't. If you are in that room right now as a player, now, in your role right now as a talk show host or as a fan, you're saying, hey, let him work through it. As a player, if you were in that room right now, would you be saying, that guy can't play right now? And he should not be playing. He should not be the starting quarterback. As a player, he has not earned the right to be out there. I want your answer coming up next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Nate Jackson in for Stink, who's traveling back from Minneapolis. I know, he called the game in D.C. yesterday. Don't just roll with it. It's travel in America over the holiday weekend. He'll be back again tomorrow. Nate sitting in advance of the Players Club coming up at 9 o'clock, debating whether or not it's time to sit down Russell Wilson. And you made the argument that, hey, he's got to work through it. You use the phrase, he's got to work through it. And I asked the question before the break, as a player, would you feel that he has earned the right to be able to continue to go out there and play based on his performance? And I would argue that didn't Mike Purcell give you a pretty good indication of where the players are when it comes to the idea that Russell Wilson should be allowed to continue to play and work through this, even if the results stay the same?
You think the players want him benched?
Yes.
I think they just want him to play better.
I think that they have seen enough of his play that they're open to trying something else.
And that something else is Brett Rypien or Josh Johnson. You got Correct. Josh Johnson down there. Correct. So yeah, I mean, there is always the allure of the practice squad quarterback or a guy that, you know, this defense gets to see every day. Because this defense does practice against Josh Johnson every day. So they're familiar with his leadership, the way he throws the football, the way he commands an offense. And maybe sometimes when they're talking with each other, it'd be like, man, I wish they'd give Josh a chance. But at the same time, we moved heaven and earth to get Russell Wilson here. You just mentioned that we can't get rid of him. So I want to see him work through this. I want to see him fight for this team. I want to see him get better. I want to see him uncomfortable and how he handles these uncomfortable moments. Maybe we can't get rid of him this year. Maybe it's going to take a couple years. But do we want to keep him for the 10 or 12 that he says he wants to be here to deliver the 2, 3, maybe 4 trophies that he said were coming? When he put that next Lombardi trophy coming soon insignia on his shoes, .. Do you remember that one? This is he has been building this up. So, all right, Russell, bring us through this troubled time. Get us through this, because Nathaniel Hackett probably gone soon. So this is your team, Russell. And we've been hearing that all the time. Russell's the guy, right? It's not Nathaniel Hackett. He's an experiment, but Russell Wilson has been brought here to be the answer for years to come, and I want to see him regain the trust of this locker room, fight through this bad football he's playing, because they're out of the playoffs. It's not like they're in the hunt, and if they get a guy to come in, then they're going to go on a run and make this thing interesting. It looks really, really bad. I want to see if Russell Wilson can dig him out of it.
Were you ever benched for poor play?
No.
You know of people who were benched because of poor play, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think those guys
would've... I mean, actually, no, that's not true. Yeah, sure. I mean, I didn't play because I wasn't playing well enough. It wasn't like I got the position and then I got benched. But the best guys should play.
Okay.
Right? The guys who prove it out there every day at practice, the guys who are playing the best football on your team, those should be the guys who are out there on Sunday.
Okay, then. So I would think then that you would endorse the idea that forget about Russell Wilson's past, forget about Russell Wilson's contract, forget about what you gave up for him. Just look at his play and say he has not earned the right to play.
I'm with you, man.
He should not be given the right to just, well, we're going to keep sending him out there because we hope that he can work his way through it.
I just want to see what the dude's made of.
That wasn't something you and plenty of other players that you know of weren't afforded that opportunity to just continue to play through your slump. Nope. You lost playing time.
Right.
You got benched. You got released. Why should this guy be treated differently? And I'm a little bit surprised at you, Nate Jackson, with your take, because from day one with Russ, you've never liked the idea that Russ is being elevated the rest of the team. Well, now I'm giving you a chance to treat him like the rest of the team, the rest of the rank and file 53, and now you're saying he needs to be treated with a different set of rules. I am so confused.
Mike, to me, the season is done. I want to see what you are made of, Russell, because there's been so much smoke and mirrors with this guy, and you can't get a straight answer from him. And he goes off on these rambling, long paragraph cliches about fade and the tribulations and the tough times, and if there's anyone who can do it, I can. Well, if there's anyone who can do it, and that's you, then show me, Russell, because you're going to be here. Or maybe not. But we got to find out if you're the guy that we're going to put our faith and our resources into supporting. You build a team right around your quarterback or whatever. But if this guy's not worth that effort, I want to know. And if you sit him down and the Broncos continue to suck, then it's not Russell's fault anymore, right? It's not. It's Nathaniel Hackett. He becomes a scapegoat, and you don't see these last six games through the lens of what Russell can actually do. I don't care that you've had injuries. I don't care that the coach doesn't know what he's doing. Russell should elevate the play of those around him if he's worth as much money and as much attention as we've given him. So while earlier in the season, I actually was in favor of sitting him down when he was dealing with the injuries and let Brett Rippon go out there and stuff, now, all right, man, you've made this about what you can do. So show me that that's what you can do. And if you can't, at the end of the season, I will know a lot more about you, Russell, and I'll be able to move forward with my team with that knowledge. If I sit you down and put it on someone else's shoulder and you can go through your whole thing again and explain what, then I don't learn as much about you. I want to know who Russell Wilson really, really is, and it's the tough times that show you
that. But see, I would argue that we've been putting him through that test for the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. We've been,
let's keep going.
But we've that's what the last 5 or 6 weeks have been about. Hey, show us what you're made of. Work yourself through this. It hasn't happened. And yesterday it got worse.
Yep.
Honestly, it hit just when you think it can't hit rock bottom. They go out and actually hit rock bottom, a new level of rock bottom. So
Just wait.
Wait till this week. They go to Baltimore. But my point is, I think we're already past the point of work through it, Russ. Now I think we're at the point of you are looking at a guy whose confidence is shot. And I think that instead of looking at these next 6 weeks as send him out there to work your way through it, I think you got to protect this guy from losing his confidence to the point where you may never get it back.
He's got the offseason to worry about building up his confidence and ego again. I want to see him drag himself through the mud these next 6 weeks and see what he's made of.
Okay. Time now for good debate. I like that. That was fun. Your injury report is presented by Zoom Care. For an incredibly banged up team, they came through it relatively unscathed yesterday. As those that were out there pretty much were able to go out and play. Here's my other question. Are we going to see Randy Gregory? He all of a sudden has become the invisible man, huh?
Randy Gregory sorely missed yesterday, and Bradley Chubb, who needs someone to set the edge, right?
I'm just saying.
That thing was folding in like a cheap suit. Cheap suits fold.
It almost had an accordion-like look.
It was just,
You can tell the last 2 weeks the teams just said, all right, yeah, we're just going to run over there.
Yeah.
You have nobody to hold the edge. And for all the people who told me, you can get rid of Bradley Chubb. We got Nick Bonito. We got Baron Browning. We got Jonathan Cooper. We got all these guys. Go take a look at the box score and check out their stats.
Brutal.
Brutal. Your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Visit ZoomCare.com to learn more about their Beyond Better urgent and primary health care clinics in Denver and Boulder today. And we've got Telestrator Tuesday coming up tomorrow. Mark's homework assignment. I had him. He will be looking specifically at the Seattle game, week one, versus what we saw yesterday. And not only play design, offense, what they're trying to do, but just Russ's body language and how Russ was moving around and throwing the football and making decisions week one against Seattle versus where we're at and what we watched yesterday. That'll be coming up tomorrow on Telestrator Tuesday. The Players Club featuring Nate Jackson. Next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.